Hello from St. James the Last Episcopal Church. This is Mother Storm, the rector, about to read my sermon preached last Sunday on June the 1st. This is what I call award season at St. James the Last. In June, mid-June, we have graduation Sunday when we celebrate our high school graduates. And then in the weeks prior to that, we have two service awards that we bestow, the Audrey Davies and Wally Owen Awards, to a man and a woman for outstanding service to the parish. So I will be referring to that a little bit in this sermon and to last Sunday's Wally Owen Award recipient, Patrick Wynn. So here is the sermon. The glory you have given me, I have given them. Jesus' words from the Gospel of John. First, let me say how wonderful it is today to be honoring this year's Wally Owen Award recipient, Patrick Wynn. We'll say more about him and the award at the announcements. I was thrilled to learn, though, that he would be this year's recipient. Patrick is a good human being. He's a great listener. He breaks down complicated issues. He has that rare gift in a leader, perspective. He doesn't waste time. And Patrick, the one thing I want to say to you directly, and I'm saying it here from the pulpit, is this award isn't being given as the culmination of your labors here. Just to be clear, this isn't a send-off, not even close. In fact, I think I have you booked for 3 meetings in the next 2 weeks. We're so grateful for your service. More about that and about him shortly. In these latter weeks of Easter, and today is the last Sunday of the Easter season, our gospel readings do something strange. They take us back to the Last Supper and the words Jesus spoke there, both to God in prayer and his disciples in fellowship. Only John's gospel narrates the prayers and conversations they had around that table, and typical of this gospel, John presents it as probably more esoteric than what was actually said that night. And that's okay, because it's beautiful. Poetry would be one way to describe Jesus' words throughout this section of John. It's a nice way to cap off the season of Easter. In this particular excerpt, Jesus prays for unity between him and the Father with the disciples, and the disciples with one another. In the wider church, we call this Jesus' prayer of Christian unity. You saw it quoted a lot in the 20th century when there was a real effort among different Christian denominations to agree about certain basic tenets of our faith. That they may all be one. Ut unum sint. It was the title of a papal encyclical about Christian unity by John Paul II. All that hard work, hammering out agreements, was successful enough that I don't think most of us really fret too much over Christian divisions anymore. But it's important that this was one of Jesus' parting wishes for his disciples. As Christians, we need to take it seriously, both across denominations and in our own pews with the people closest to us. We mustn't forget that. But there's another theme in this prayer that caught my attention this week, glory. Jesus says it 8 times in this chapter alone, chapter 17, 5 times in the first 5 verses. We're meant to notice it. The glory you have given me, Jesus says here, praying to God, I have given them. Glory. It sounds like lightness, like angels floating with translucent wings. In the New Testament, it has associations with light and can imply a kind of heavenly as opposed to earthly state. But in the Old Testament, it's just the opposite. Glory brings with it a sense of weight, of heft. God has glory. God isn't like us, weightless and transient. We're like grass that withers and blows away, flowers that fade, as the psalm says. But God is glorious and permanent and has weight that we'll never have. Except that in Jesus' prayer, we're given that. The glory you have given me, I have given them. We're made for glory. Last month at Holy Cross Monastery, about 2 hours north of here, and where I was lucky enough to spend a few days in reflection before Holy Week, I read a book by a chess grandmaster, The Moves That Matter. There's a section on faith, and at one point he talks about being heavy rather than light in a good way. We need to know we're real, that our existence matters. A meaningful life isn't one that aspires to being happy, but to having weight. Last Sunday, when I was away, I worshiped around the corner with the Quakers, my husband's tradition, and he explained to me this week that Quakers, who call themselves friends, have a term for this, a weighty friend. That's a term of respect for members with spiritual and moral authority. And we gain that weight, I say that in a positive sense for a change, we gain that weight through our obligations, through deepening our connections to the world and the people in it. Want assurance that you exist, that you matter? Go help out at a food bank. Take a moment to talk to someone after church. Ask them how they're doing and really listen. Or sit around a table on a Monday night hashing out the church's finances, because you understand that if you didn't, if someone hadn't always been willing to do this, that baby wouldn't be baptized next Sunday. Or that healing prayer said over the parishioner who just lost her mother, that person at the food bank your church supports, wouldn't get fed. So if you're moved, join the altar guild, the finance committee, property. We need people on the property committee. Patrick has recently agreed to head up the property committee, so work with him. Patrick, and I mean this in the best possible way, you have lots of weight, moral, spiritual heft, glory. You are a weighty friend. Today is a celebration of that, but let's remember we're all made for glory. It was one of Jesus' parting wishes that we understand this. It comes not from a life of ease and serenity, but of sacrifice and giving. The life Jesus led and the life we're called to follow. Amen.